Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, right on the southwest side of Columbus. And good Monday to you. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. How was church yesterday? My, oh my, what a wonderful, wonderful start to our revival services with Evangelist Tim Booth. And we had just a delightful day. God met with us. Decisions were made for Christ. The altar response was wonderful. And the messages were right on target. And what a great day we had to start off our series of meetings praying for revival. And the same thing in our Spanish work. The Spanish has our missionary, Victor Rouse, preaching there. He preached yesterday morning and last night, and he'll be there again tonight. Our service is at 6:30 with Evangelist Tim Booth. The Spanish service is at 7 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Ours at 6:30, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we're praying for a revival. Now, somebody says, well, what is a revival? It's a reviving of the people of God. It's a new life being brought into the people of God. And most of us have not experienced what a revival really is. But I want to talk a little bit about some roadblocks to revival. What is hindering revival? Well, there's an Old Testament passage that deals with some roadblocks to revival. 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. The Bible says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And Joash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring in the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. And it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. And so he called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar, on the right side, as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And, of course, what happened is, and as they collected the money, they got the carpenters, and they repaired the house of the Lord. Now, we're going to stop here for a minute. Joash starts out very promising. After a steady decline in the kingdom, after the death of her son, the king, there's just been a bloody time in Jerusalem. Joash's grandmother had killed all the royal family and set herself up on the throne. But Joash's great aunt had snuck the infant Joash out with his nurse, and they hid for 6 years in a secret place in the temple of God. Now, when Joash was 7 years old, the priest Jehoiada staged an uprising against a wicked and idolatrous grandmother, placing the boy Joash upon the throne. And consequently, they killed his mother, and the temple of Baal was destroyed. The priests of Baal were put to death. The covenant was reestablished. Proper temple worship was reestablished, as we read about. And it looked like another golden age was going to come to Judah. It looked like revival was on its way. The plan was laid, and everything, the process was begun. But then something happened. And the question is, what happened? How did they let the revival slip away? What kept God from pouring out his blessings? What did Joash do wrong? I believe we're at a similar time in our country. Oh, I know. Listen, we're in moral decline. We're a post-Christian America for sure. And terrible things have happened. But there are some positive signs. I believe people are growing very discontent. I believe people are getting tired of life as it is and life without God. I believe there's a spiritual hunger in our country and in our community, and I pray even in our own congregation, where people will begin to cry out for a revival. I think it's important we can learn some lessons here from Joash. And what are the roadblocks? There's four things that stand out to me here that was a hindrance to their revival. Number one was what we call a follow the leader faith. Notice Joash did that was right in the sight of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. In other words, as long as Jehoiada was around to guide him, Joash did okay. Not perfect, but okay. It seems if there was little conviction in him, but you understand, Jehoiada couldn't make a covenant on behalf of the king. The king needs to dedicate himself to the Lord. I'm not sure Joash ever did that, because as soon as Jehoiada's gone, Joash is easily led astray by those who wanted to turn against the Lord, reinstate idol worship, and mix it in with the worship of the true God. Now listen, Joash was a follower, and that's okay, follower, but follow with conviction. Joash was a follower because he didn't have any convictions. It's tempting to follow the crowd or even to follow a very charismatic leader. But that's dangerous, even if the leader's a good one, because you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And if your commitment to God is leader-based, it's easy to be led astray or turned around by some other leader. And it's also dangerous because leaders can let you down. I tell my folks often, if I haven't let you down, just hold on. Your turn's coming. I will disappoint you. I'm flesh and blood, more than I want to be in the flesh. And I know I'll disappoint people. But we think of revival sometimes in historic, of their leaders, historic revival, Jonathan Edwards, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday. But listen, I don't believe revival's ever come because just a leader desired it, but because the people desired it enough to repent of sin and seek God in prayer to change their heart and change their life. Oh, I'm not saying you don't need a leader. You know me better than that. I believe revival has never and never will happen when people just seek to ride the coattails of a leader. Oh, the leader can cast a vision. The leader must want revival as well. But just follow the leader alone without any personal conviction of your own is a roadblock to revival. Then I see they neglected the strongholds. The high places weren't removed. They continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense. Poles to goddesses, Asherah, were erected, and altars similar to the ones in the temple were there for animal and even human sacrifice. And there were pagan priests. And listen, Josiah, once he reached an age where he could have been aware and done something about it, just simply wasn't willing to make the effort. Remember, idol worship now is more prevalent than genuine worship. And I know you think, well, what does that have to do with us, Pastor? We don't have high places. We don't worship idols. Well, do you have any hidden hills in your life? A place where God isn't sovereign? Where you have habits or practicing sin or temptations you indulge in? What about the plans we make for our life that we don't want the Lord interfering with? I mean, that plan B, just in case God doesn't come through. Are you willing to be brought low? Are you willing to surrender every corner of your life to God? Or are you hanging on to your high places? The story is told of a child who came to school filthy every day. The teachers were appalled that anyone could let their child come to school, and they were discussing the situation, and one said, that mother doesn't love her child. Another one said, oh, I think she does. She just doesn't hate dirt. Well, listen, when we love the Lord, and we're not going to love the Lord until we learn to hate the dirt and tear down the high places, or there'll be no revival. The third thing I think that roadblocked revival was the surrender of the sacred. You read, when faced with a crisis, Joash doesn't turn to the Lord. He calls upon the nation to fast and pray. You read about it in verse 17 and 18. He takes the surrendered objects, the sacred objects, and things that have been dedicated to the Lord, and he uses them as a bribe to get his enemy to leave him alone. Again, shows his weakness and his lack of resolve. You say, well, is that us? Hey, when push comes to shove in your life, what gives way? Is it the things that are sacred to the Lord? Bible, prayer, church attendance, soul winning? When something really neat is about to happen and it's on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, where do you find yourself? When your daily schedule is tight, does the laundry wait or does the Lord wait? Are you like Bill Gates, the CEO of Microsoft, who said, just in terms of allocation of time, resource, religion is not efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Boy, he'll remember that statement for all eternity. Oh, my friend, we have to be willing to surrender all to God. Our time, our talent, our treasure, everything belongs to Him. And you don't surrender the sacred for the sake of convenience. You can, but you won't see revival. A follow the leader mentality, neglecting the stronghold, surrendering the sacred, and then lastly, they were ignoring the call to repentance. In 2 Chronicles 24, verses 19 through 25, you find that they neglected the call to repentance. He sent them prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said to them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. And Joash remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada's father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it, and the Lord will require it, Joash. Wow. He didn't like the message, so he killed the messenger. He didn't want to hear what he was doing wrong. And listen, I believe God wants us to have revival. But listen, I believe that unless we as individuals heed the call to repentance, we'll never experience all that God wants for us. He wants us to repent. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, we want God to hear us. We want God to visit us, but we don't want to turn from our wicked ways. But the blessing of God and the revival spirit from God is not going to come if we have unrepentant sin in our life. I believe the Holy Spirit's at work. I believe that He is... Christians and believers across our land are feeling the heavy hand of God convicting them of some high places that need to come down, of some sacred things that need to be, that maybe have been surrendered and need to be reclaimed for the Lord and settled, that some things are not for sale. Some things I will not budge on. Don't ignore God's call to repentance. Don't continue your life as usual. Oh, you can choose to kill the messenger if you want. And you can say, well, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. Or you can choose to surrender. Oh, I believe God is willing and God is anxious to move in revival power in our churches, in our communities, and in our country. I believe he's ready, but we must follow the Lord. We must tear down the strongholds. We must hold on to the sacred things. And we must be willing to repent and turn to God. The songwriter wrote, Yes, I really want revival. Yes, I really want God's power. And I really want His Spirit to control my life this hour. I'm looking now to Jesus. I will seek His face and pray. For I really want revival. I am willing to obey. That's why we have service Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. That's why there's special meetings. Because we're asking God for revival. Are there any roadblocks to revival in your life? Why don't you get on your knees today, confess them to God. Draw that circle on the floor, then stand in that circle and say, God, start a revival inside this circle. And let's ask God to give us a revival. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Have a great Monday, everybody. I'll be back with you again on the broadcast tomorrow. And until then, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
the joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.